Those of you turning into the podcast, I welcome you to the House of Manna. This is our last service here at the House of Manna on 6565 Babcock Road. This is our Sunday service that we're having, our baptism service, and we're getting ready to embark into a new place. If you go to the website, you will see that the address on there is stating that we are meeting at St. Andrew's Church next Sunday on Hebner Road. I ask that you continue to be in prayer, that you would be able to attend. We will start that service at 10:30. We'll begin to move about how God is leading us in that area, and we'll begin to tweak the services how it fits that particular location. Our Wednesday night Bible study will now move to a Thursday night at 7:30. Our Wednesday night Bible study soaking will now move to Thursday nights at 7:30. And we will meet in the main sanctuary on Thursday nights at 7:30 at St. Andrew's. So I welcome you to the podcast. I pray that this message be a blessing to you. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower. If you're at Matthew 13, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. And if you have it, say amen. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. The other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on the good soil where it produced a crop. 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. And we'll read verse 11 again. He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whosoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. Oh, Lord. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. Verse 16, but blessed are you, are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but do not hear it. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Father, that your word continues to permeate our hearts and begins to change us into the very things that you called us to be. We are the beings of Christ. We are the sons and the daughters of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to greatness. Now, Father, let me decrease as you increase. Let your words come out of my mouth like honey. Let it be pleasing and wonderful to those that hear it. Now, Father, we serve notice to every distracting and unclean spirit, every antichrist spirit right now in the name of Jesus. You're bound right now in Jesus' mighty name. Now, you be glorified, God, through your son, Jesus, and his works, in our praise and our worship unto you. We thank you for it now, in Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said amen. Amen. If you would now go down to verse 31, verse 31. And when you're there, say amen. I want to read this to you so you have an understanding. What I'm going to talk to you about is a different kind of seed. Look to your neighbor, he said a different kind of seed. Now look to your other neighbor, he said a different kind of seed. Verse 31 says, he told them another parable. Here we go, another story. He tells them again. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like, say it with me, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. What does it become? Say it loud. What does it become? What does it become? So that the birds come and perch in its branches. Well, how many of you have seen a mustard tree? No? How many of you have seen a mustard bush? No? Work with me here. Okay, so. Okay, well, I've heard the parable. Yes? Okay, I'm just making sure at least I can talk to somebody that understands. But look, so now Jesus is walking around telling the parable to who? His disciples only, or who? Okay, the people. He said that he entered into a what? A boat. And that everybody else was where? On the shore. So does that sound like they're in the city? That sounds like they're where? Beep. Out in the country. You know, like the country that's here, 1604, right? Became a city now. Okay, so now he's beginning to talk to these people about a parable about a mustard seed. So among them, there's some farmers. So I'm sure the farmers are looking at Jesus, hey, mustard seeds don't grow to trees. They're only bushes. Many theologians argue this point all the time. There are no mustard trees. There's mustard bushes. They're shrubs, not trees. Hello? Then why would Jesus say it? Now he's getting their attention, is he not? Like you are right now, like, wait a minute. If y'all would have seen your faces on Wednesday when I talked about the leaven, y'all like, yeah, no, what? Hey, I'm confused. Because it took y'all a while to kind of catch on what I was saying about the leaven. So he's speaking to them in a parable to people that understand about the seeds. Now, the first parable that I read was about those that were sowing seeds, right? A farmer. He talked to them about what he's sowing. Some of it fell on thorny ground. Some of it hard ground. Some of it good ground. Who's the farmer in this story? Hello? God. The first parable, the one that is sowing the seed, is God. Okay? And what is that seed that is being sowed? The word of God. What are the different soils? Us, our heart. Okay? So he reveals that first. But then he throws this one in there. Now there's a farmer. Now he said, now there's a God. God is sowing a seed, a mustard seed. The smallest seed. And he puts it in the ground. He's telling them, now it's going to grow to be a large tree. Wait a minute. Now the people are like, hold up. How's that going to be? How is what's not supposed to be, how's it going to become? Right? How many times have you kind of sown a small seed and God did a miracle for you? Bigger than what you've sown. See, when you do things with God, even though the law says it's only going to be a bush, he says now in this particular parable that it's going to be a big tree. And watch this. He doesn't talk about the fruit. He talks about the birds. Oh, hold up. Y'all don't want me to teach. Y'all don't want me to teach. Okay, listen. Matthew 13:31-32. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants, and becomes a tree. Now watch this. Watch what he says next. He doesn't talk about the mustard for your hot dogs. He doesn't talk about the mustard to put on your hamburgers or your friend. How many of y'all eat it with French fries? Look at y'all. Do you know, history proves that the Egyptians buried mustard with the beloveds. that's how much it was a blessing to them. It made their food taste good. Now watch this, watch. This is what he says. Instead of the fruit, he says, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. But what did he just talk about in the seed, the parable before with the seeds? What comes to eat the seeds? The birds. So now in this parable, he's making shelter for the birds. Y'all don't question the Bible when y'all read it? Because sometimes I'm looking at Jesus, why are you saying what you're saying? So when you start reading it don't make sense, don't just read the word just to read it. Stop and question. What does this mean? Why is this like this? If it's just a plant, at best it's a shrub. But a tree? Now see, I've got trees in my backyard. And I got one of those feeders for the birds to come to eat the seeds. Now, if my dog or my cat are outside, the birds are not eating the seed. They're in the tree seeking shelter so they can go and eat the seed. So Jesus made it a point. I'm going to talk to you about the seed first. And now I'm going to talk to you about a tree, about these birds. I think he's starting to get their attention now. They probably have the same look on their face like you're looking at me right now. Some of you are like, his intention was to point something out that many of us will overlook. God is in control of all things, from the least to the greatest. Amen? Now, I'm going to share a story, and then I'll continue on. There may be some other stories, okay? But share a story. This is a student from MIT. At MIT, he spent the summers going to the field, the football field of Harvard University. And what he would do is on the football field during the summer, he would go out there with a black and white shirt, striped shirt, with seeds in his hands and whistle in his mouth. So what he would do is walk on the field and start throwing the seeds and blowing the whistle. Once he finished with the seed, he left the field. He did this every day in the summer. And he did it for two reasons. And I'll share with you in just a minute. So here comes, school starts, and now the first football game at Harvard University. This man, they walk on the field, call referees, black and white, with a whistle in their mouth. They get ready to blow the whistle to start the game. What do you think happens? I'm sorry? All the birds come to the field. True story. All the birds that have been trained up to eat the seed show up because of a learned behavior that was triggered by somebody doing something pattern after pattern after pattern. They followed after because they could eat the seed. But what was this MIT student doing? He was proving a point that if I can do something repetitively, cause a ruckus, I can call attention to a place as long as I seed it. Oh, as long as I put seed and make some noise. I can cause something that is in the air to come down. Oh, you don't want to hear this. Because if I keep putting seed by faith and I keep making a joyful noise, I can call what's in the air to come down. Woo! Y'all better get this. If we're believing by faith for revival, but we ain't putting seed in the ground and ain't making no noise, we're not going to get the heavenly to come down. For the kingdom of heaven is like, you want to talk about revival, but you don't want to pray. You want to talk about revival, but you don't want to seed. All this student was doing, his second reason why he did it was just to irritate the Harvard students. That's it. It took them 30 minutes to get rid of all the birds. There was a delay in the game. This MIT student wrote about this in his thesis, and he graduated. I want you to hear this. What seeds have been planted in you that you haven't, by your praise, called forth? What seed has been planted in your field? Is it there to cause a ruckus? Or is it there to call a harvest? Because heaven will come down. So when Jesus was doing this, he says, there is a farmer that went out planting seeds, and the birds of the air came and they ate it up. And then the next parable, he says, oh, but there's another farmer that put seed in the ground so that the birds could perch in this tree. Now, if I was a farmer, I'd say, wait a minute, you know we put scarecrows out in the field to protect our seed. This going to bless you. He says, any time that God plants a seed, he rebukes the devourer for your sake. He rebukes the devourer for your sake. He stands in your field. What is your field? It is your home, your family. It is your business. It is your health. He stands rebuking the devourer for your sake. But he makes you to become that tree so that those that do not know him can come and perch on you. Oh, Lord. Lionel, just trying to get to a certain point. What is the tree symbolizing in this parable? The church. I feel the unction. We may start out small. What man would say will not grow to become big. God says, when you're in me and I'm in you, I will supersede the laws of this earth, and I will make you to become something that wasn't designed to be big, become big. I will make you become a tree planted by rivers of living water, that this way you can grow tall, but not to be seen. But to make place for those that do not know the kingdom. And they will come. How are they going to perch? How are they going to come to the church if you yourself haven't grown? If you haven't grown because you weren't planted by rivers of living water, you weren't even planted, you weren't rooted, you were just lollygagging around anywhere you felt like you needed to be. Tomorrow I'll be at this church over here because I would shoot over there. They serve donuts. But in that church, they got tacos. And barbacoa. And Big Red. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Because in another church, they got a little bit of something over here than some huevos rancheros and homemade tortillas with some salsa. And I just happen to go there. You see, what we do is we pick and choose, but we're never planted. You can't get big unless you get planted. You can't grow and let your roots go down if you ain't planted. He was speaking to them saying, if you do not stay connected like to the kingdom, then you ain't going to grow and supersede what the law says. Because you'll always be bound by the law. Ooh. Welcome to the house of men. It's good stuff. Love the Bible. Good. Jesus focuses on two things: a small seed and a big tree. What did the birds focus on? On the tree. Watch this. If you stay planted and in him, you're no longer worried about the devourer. You're no longer worried about the devourer. All you're worried about is staying connected, plugged in, rooted in him, so that you can supersede the law that had you bound. Oh, this is good teaching, right? This is good teaching. Oh, I got to live like the Ten Commandments say. Don't forget about the 366 other laws they added to it. You can't do it. You'll be bound to the law. He came to fulfill the law. That's why he says, if you abide in me, in my righteousness, it is my righteousness that already fulfilled the law. And what was there to keep you bound is no longer there to keep you bound. Now you can grow. Your focus is in the growing in him. So that those that are on the outside can now look on the inside and say, that's different. I've never seen this mustard tree before. It's always been a bush. I've always passed by it. But now, from the outside, he's talking to those that are sinners, that do not know the church. So those that are growing and superseding their own limitations, woo, are growing to become a tree as a shelter for those that do not know Jesus. Yes. Are you hearing this? Yes. When you're growing in God, you forget about all the devourer that tries to come in. Oh, I can't pay my light bill, but I trust God. I can't pay my vehicle, but I trust God. I can't pay my mortgage, but I trust God. You're growing in faith. And as you're growing in faith, the Bible says this, there's only faith that pleases God. So why is he saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed? It's the smallest at the beginning. Now watch this. Remember what I said on Wednesday about the leaven? How many of you like bread? Okay, now hot bread. Just out of the oven. Just out of the oven. Okay, wait. Yeah. Oh, I don't feel the Holy Ghost now. Wait, yeah. Like I'm going to start going and that bread that has been baking and it begins to rise. It smells so good. Oh, it fills the house. You're like, ooh, mama making bread. Woo! Let it be made without leaven, the yeast. This sour. Is that for the birds? I ain't. How many eat crackers? Crackers, right? Crackers. Listen. Crackers and bread. Same ingredients, minus one. Yeast, the leaven. How many of you love crackers? Over bread. Watch what I'm going to say now. So the woman that purposely put the leaven in the bread, she left it alone. So that it could expand. What did Jesus say? A little leaven. Leaven the whole loaf. So what is he saying? Even if the kingdom of God starts out small in you, leave it alone. Because it will expand. Not in your timing, but my timing. If it's left alone, look at your neighbor and say, let alone. It will expand and it will grow. Sometimes you feel like you've just been sitting there. I ain't doing nothing. I just come to church and get my tambourine.
There's got to be more than this. Yes, the kingdom of God inside of you is expanding. It is expanding. And at the right proper time, you're about to become something that is sweet and savorful for those that are looking on the outside saying, oh, this church got a little bit of something different that I haven't experienced before. Maybe what you're growing in is something for somebody else to partake of.
It's a good stuff, right? It's good stuff.
Why do we go through what we go through? Because he wants us to get your roots by faith to just dig in. Push me, but I ain't going to break. Push me and I will just sway with everything that comes my way. Because even when the storm comes, my roots are digging down. I may have started off small and I should only be just a little plant in a garden. But my garden is out in a field somewhere. Where is that? In the world. He planted you in the world so that the adversity of this world can make you grow. Woo. Kingdom of heaven is like that of a mustard seed. What is he saying? You, the church, starts off small. But in the end, you will make a covering for those that do not know Christ to come in and rest on you. Will you make yourself available to those that need to know Christ? Will you make yourself available to those that need hope? For someone that is broken, this is for you. You need someone to speak to you and say, you can make it. You're not going to quit because I'm going to stand with you. How are you going to stand with me? Because I learned how to stand by myself. When no one would stand with me, I knew Christ was with me, the hope of glory inside of me. I could stand anyhow. And when all I could do, I stood anyhow. So when someone comes in, I need someone to talk to. I need someone that I can lean on. Lean on me. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not God. I'm the church of the living God. And if anything that you got to say, say it unto me. I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll listen to you, but I will pray you through. I'm not here to judge you, but I am a tree. Because what was inside of me, there was leaven. Yes, there was sin. But then the seed of heaven began to expand bigger than my sin. Trying to tell you that what Jesus is saying is there's so many different parables that I have to speak to you because one of them may hit you between the eyes. The other one may go right by your head. But when it hits you right in your heart, that's when you say, oh, hey, that one was for me. I know now that what was only supposed to be small, God is making large. Not so that the seed can claim, this is me. No, that God can say, she's mine. He's mine. It is me inside of them that causes them to stand. So that those that do not know me from a distance can see, there's where I've got to be. Whoever this is for, if you've gone through some hard times, you don't know how you're going to make it. But you look around you. You got people here. They say, I'll stand with you. I'll believe with you. I'll agree with you. And I'll agree with the word of God. Things will turn around. They won't always be the same. They will change. But in order for it to go low and go deep, the storm has to be very hard. So that the roots can strengthen. He'll make change. Because he's not looking at the fruit. He's looking at the seed that was planted. Do you understand? What is the kingdom of heaven like? Oh, let's take it to the New Testament. I'll show it and then I'll close. Jesus said this in Mark 2:17. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick.
I have come to call the righteous, not to have come to call the righteous, but to call the sinners. What is he saying? I've come for the sinners. In Isaiah 55:6, this is what God says. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What is he saying? I don't care what the seed was intended to be, only a certain version. But my thoughts and my ways, I can make a change to that seed that I planted inside of you. I can make it grow bigger than what you thought. I can make it grow faster than what you think. And I can make you stand longer than what you expected. He wants to draw every bird in the air to give him shelter. He wants to draw the wicked people and the evil people. He wants to give them mercy. And he wants to pardon their sin. How can they come to a church lest they see the fruit of him, the seed in you? Come on. We need influence. We need to be the influence. We need to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Watch this. Matthew 13. This is the one I was talking about, the yeast, the leaven. It was there so that it would taste good. The kingdom of heaven is supposed to be tasty, sweet. Not bitter in condemnation and in judgment, but sweet and encouraging. Do you understand? Oh, you're going through what you're going through because you got sin in your life. When people tell me that, I laugh. I used to, well, like a lot of y'all do. Colorful words. But now I understand we must be the sweet. Oh, he's so good. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 2. Watch this. It says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. What is he saying? The kingdom of heaven. Come and eat of the fruit of heaven. Come and eat of the bread of life. Why? Because when Jesus came into this world, he came as a human form. He was the seed that came into this earth. And his seed was the kingdom of heaven. Did it grow? It grew with 12, didn't it? Oh, I love it. Watch this on Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. Watch this. I want you to look at this as the kingdom of heaven, how it started out small. He took 12 disciples, 12, the ruling government of the kingdom of God, the number 12. He took 12, the government, and he put his seed of heaven in them. And they began to cultivate with their faith and belief in him, and it began to grow. And it grew so much that it got to the point where he told them after the resurrection, go into now Jerusalem and wait. See that? Wait. I put the seed in you. I put the leaven in you. Now go and wait. When you put yeast into the dough, what does it do? It rises. So in the book of Acts, when he says to go into Jerusalem and I will send you the comforter, I will send you the gift. What he was saying is, you little seed of heaven, go and wait because you're about to expand. You're about to expand. So that now they go into an upper room. Incidentally, when they would cook, they didn't cook inside the house. They would cook in the upper room. So as they sat there and waited, the intensity of what was deposited in them began to expand. Watch this. On Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What happened? They saw them with the fire of tongues. They got baptized in the upper room. What happened? Now the fire came to that leaven, the bread, and it began to make it rise even more. It became something sweet and savorable, something that they wanted to sink their teeth into. It was something different. Now that they have never learned the language that they were about to speak, now they're in the actual city square speaking in different languages that they've ever have spoken in. What happened? They grew. They expanded. And when they expanded, it was so that they could partake of the kingdom of heaven. Now, Peter preaches the greatest message of all time. Of all time. Peter preaches his first sermon at the first church that began. Watch this. They were all cut in their heart. And they asked him, what shall we do? And this is what Peter replied. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He tells them right there to repent, get baptized, and you're going to receive a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He preaches that message. What started out small, on that day, how many people were added to the church? 3,000. Look what I'm saying. Here's my seed of the 12. Go and wait. 11. How long did they wait? 49 days. I'm on the 50th day. Pentecost came. What does Pentecost mean? First fruits. First fruits. So the first fruits of the first seed on the first church, here came the fruit. Over 3,000 off of one seed. Y'all missed it. That's why some of your blessings haven't come through. Because they're getting ready to burst forth. It's about to expand. As it expands, it goes beyond its natural borders. This is what he says in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle that I spoke about before. He says, enlarge your tents. Strengthen and lengthen your cords. What you were once standing in at the beginning is about to grow, and you got to make room because you got to strengthen and pull those cords, because now what started out little is about to become big. What started out small is about to increase. What started out to be just a little seed is now going to be about 3,000 later in the birthing of the church. Do you understand? The reason why he spoke in parables is to get their attention. Now you're probably looking at me. Now I get that whole thing about the leaven, Pastor. Wednesday, I left home like, that don't make no sense. He hadn't put on a podcast yet. I think he's going to redo it. No, I'm waiting until this message so that now you can have an understanding what the leaven represented. Many want to say, it's sin. We all got it. Now let the leaven, the yeast of the kingdom, expand in us so that we're not the saltine crackers. We're the fresh bread of heaven. He is the bread of heaven, not saltines of heaven. He is the bread of heaven. Why the bread of heaven? Because he rises to every occasion. What makes bread rise is your heat, your turmoil, and all your tribulation. That's when he rises and says, not my children. And he can look upon your Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Oh, I'm trying to tell you.
that the kingdom of heaven, all we've got to do to achieve it is believe. Receive. And be ye baptized. Woo-wee. Are you? Yeah, like, I've been at this gate. I've been ready to take off running. I know this is for you. I know it is, because it's for me too. I know that what I've been going through, it's only to make the kingdom inside of me expand. That's it. You know what makes plants? Oh, okay, this just real quick, and I'm in it. I promise you. Do you know what makes plants grow in drought? The previous season of rain. They've learned over the course of the droughts how to store up, to become hardy in every condition. Because when it rains in abundance, it stores in its root and not in the leaf. So when the dry season comes, the roots go deeper where it's cooler and it drinks of what's already within. The roots then expand. It's too deep. It's just too deep. It's too deep. It's just too deep. Okay. One last story and we're through. A.A. Allen was a revivalist that went around and would minister. And on his travel back and forth, this long time ago, he got held up by a robber. A.A. Allen says, I have nothing. Here's my pocket. I'll show you everything. Matter of fact, look into my bags. There's no money. I don't have anything. So the robber gets so frustrated. He says, hey, before you leave. But what I do have, I want to give to you. The thief looks at him and says, what are you talking about? You ain't got nothing from me. He says, Jesus can forgive you of your lifestyle right now. And he can pardon you of all your sin. Think about that. So that thief ran away, looking at him, puzzled. A couple of years go by. A.A. Allen's having another tent revival. Same region. He's getting ready to close and start praying for people. And he sees in this crowd a man that looks familiar. And that man couldn't wait for him to pray for everybody, so he wanted to run to the front of the line. And he looked at him and he recognized him as that thief. So he brought him to the front of the line. He says, do I need to pray for you? He says, no. I wanted to thank you because what you told me that day changed the course of my life. Wow. He received Christ in another ministry from another evangelist, received Christ, became a successful businessman after turning his life around, and he went back to tell him this. It was that seed that you planted on the road. Seed. Seed. I mean, you know that all he does in your life is use you to plant seed in others. Amen. May not look like it's going to produce anything, but it is. It is, Kelly. Your faith. You have rooted yourself in him. He says to you, beloved, the fruit of your labor shall come forth. But this is what he says for you today, that it shall burst forth. It will turn in an instant. Where did that come from? And God says, that was my doing for you. For you. Bless you. Bless you. Real quick, you had the pink right here. Right there.
what's your name? Marissa. I just want to share this with you as I was ministering to her. I see you like on a porch and you're sitting down. You like the outdoors. I know it's hot. You're like, ooh, it's hot. But you like the outdoors because a lot of your thinking comes when you're outside. And I see you contemplating concerning a relationship. And I want to speak to you peace. Peace. There's turmoil that is within, even in your heart. And I want to speak peace to you, beloved. He knows every pain that's there. He knows every word that went forth. Sometimes you're to the point you even believe no more, even in yourself. Outside of a different setting, you're together. You got yourself together. But these words have been deeply rooted. And they've caused a lot of pain at times. And I want to tell you that God is removing that right now. He's removing it. I want to encourage you that the peace of Almighty God just feel. You're going to feel your body begin to get warm. I feel it right now leaving me. Your body's getting warm right now. It's starting at your neck, coming down. There's healing that has taken place in your heart. And I release that very virtue of God. Only God can do it, not me. I'm just a Mexican that likes tacos. But he can do it. That's the God we serve. Let him do it, baby. Let him do it. What was spoken against you that you heard and enough times you started to believe it, I bind it now in the name of Jesus. That's not who you are. You're a woman of virtue. That means you're a good person. That means you love others. That means you care for others. You'll do for others. You're an encourager, beloved. Now encourage people. And the ones that want to talk about you, see, you got a lot of jealousy around you. I see it. A lot of jealousy around you. It's like a cancer that has come into relationships in your life because jealousy is put on you and you're not the jealous type. You've only been responding like it because of what's been said. Trust in the name of Jesus will fill your heart. Trust, trust, and trustworthiness will come around you. No more jokers in your life. No more jokers in your life. Amen. Amen. Okay, listen to me real quick. You can stop the recording.